Bereishis chapter 41. So in this chapter, we start to have some of the sort of resolution of all the tensions that we began in the story of Yosef. In other words, in previous chapters, which are all part of one very long and very complicated and very circular story, besides for the one chapter that we had that was about Yehida, just caught in the middle of the story, we had the first scene, the first situation of Yosef's story was the dreams that Yosef had and the interpretation of the dreams that his brothers and his father understood or gave, and then how that led to his being sold to Mitzrayim. And we had the whole story in the previous chapter of Yosef getting into prison in Mitzrayim, and then again dreams, two dreams, keep on being these stories of two dreams of the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Oifim, how Yosef told them the meaning of their dreams. So here we see Yosef as a second thing, not only as the dreamer, but also as the one who can interpret dreams. That seems to be a separate thing that has to do with Yosef. And then we left off with Yosef promising the Sarah Mashkim his job back, or saying this is the interpretation of his dream, and then asking him, and it seems like Yosef, and this seems to be an important thing about Yosef, that he takes the opportunities where he identifies them, he identified that as an opportunity to try to get out of the problem he was in. And the last word of the previous chapter was that did not work. He was forgotten. And if you count, you keep track of this word forgotten or remembering, you see that seems an important story, at least in the, an important word, an important term, at least in this part of the story. And the way it starts in this chapter, and again, these beginnings of the chapters are made by whoever cut up the chapters, but there is, it does, and I think it is correct, and also the Parshas Mikra, it starts here, and the Sidurim, they all made a new story here, and there's also the text itself, and this is a way, one of the ways in which a text, not always this language, starts a story, or starts a part of a story is here, but Vayi Mikech Nesayim Yomem is, I think, explicitly a kind of way of resuming the story at a new place, and a new time, right? In other words, it doesn't say in this story, it doesn't say 2 years passed, which is one way that this part would have been written in a different language. But in the language of the Torah, it says just, and it was at the end of 2 years. And what this means is that 2 years have passed. And this is like an important thing to notice. 2 years have passed where nothing happened, where Yosef was hoping for the Sarah Mashkim to remember him, and he didn't. But after these 2 years, he will remember him. That's basically the next part of the story. But before we get to this, we have to see how that happened. So we're going back, we're going to Pare. Pare is having a dream, and Pare has two dreams, just like Yosef had two dreams, like the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Oifim together had two dreams. Pare has two dreams. His first dream is him standing on the water, or next to the waters, the river, the Nile River of Mitzrayim. Seven cows, beautiful, fat, healthy cows. I don't know if Prius means healthy, I think Prius means fat. Anyways, come out of the river, somehow go up from the river. Maybe this means literally out of the water, or maybe it's like somehow like coming up into the pasture over there. And then there are seven more cows coming out. And those are bad looking and thin cows, not thick, not fat ones, but starved ones. And they stand next to each other. And then the bad-looking and thin of flesh, or with less flesh, unhealthy level of not being fat enough, eat the seven good-looking and fat ones, and body wakes up. This is like an important thing, because what, as we see in the next time, it says ve'ikat v'hinechaloim. In other words, when you dream, you don't usually notice that you're dreaming, or at least in this story, it's important, and other stories of kings dreaming also. But he wakes up, in other words, and it's a dream. So it's like there's something going, this leaves you with a question. Okay, now what does this mean? If you're just dreaming and you know that dreaming, or if there's no like state or stage of like waking up, and like there's a dream and something's going on, then there isn't a question for the story to answer. And he falls back asleep and he dreams again. This is again important. We'll see in Yosef's interpretation, where he gives an interpretation of this doubling of the dream. But it seems like also something maybe somewhat unnatural. Usually people, if fall asleep again, they don't have again the same dream or another dream. or that's something that we should make you wonder about why this is happening. And he has, the new dream is seven stalks of wheat or of something coming up. Or in other words, again, there's this coming up language. Again, this maybe just means sprouts out of the ground. It doesn't say anymore that it's underwater. It's just coming out in one root, in one middle stem. And these, again, they're good and fat. And then there are seven other ones, thin, and the opposite of good here, it's shedifa iskadim, hit by the wind. So like wind swept, wind broken stalks of grain. And these thin ones, that's the same thing as in the previous story, in the previous dream, swallow these seven good ones, the seven, here you have two different words, bria is fat ones, meles and full ones. So I changed the word toives to meles. And Pari wakes up and v'necheloim, and it was a dream. So there's like, now what's going on? So in the morning, and which might not have been the same, right? It's not like he wakes up in the morning. Maybe that's also part of this. Maybe that's the simple meaning. Like he woke up, he was awakened by the dream. Sometimes someone has like a scary dream or a startling dream and he's startled awake. And then he wakes, slept again, and he was startled awake again in the end. And then the rest of the night happened. And that doesn't mean he woke up in the morning, right? It means later in the morning, then he's thinking what to do. And in the morning, his spirit was like knocking in him, literally. It was like, it's just a way of saying he was afraid or trying to figure out what's happening. And what does he do? He calls all of the sages, the Chartimim. Chartimim is apparently an Egyptian word. It's interesting that when the Torah is talking about the specific kind of wise men, right, or astrologers or priests or whatever they were of Mitzrayim, it actually uses their term, or apparently this is the term that they were known by. And then in some, maybe this is the Torah interpreting itself, Eskal Chachameo, the Chartimim, which are these wise men of Mitzrayim, or maybe there are two classes, like the Chartimim are the really good ones, and later, of course, when the story of Moshe, we have a lot of talk about Chartimim, but I don't know, remember if we have Chachamim there also. And Pari tells them his dream, and no one could interpret it. This is a famous question. Why can't nobody interpret the dream? There's something missing here. But maybe that's just a question from our perspective, so we don't really follow the story of how dreams were interpreted in the ancient world, especially in Mitzrayim, which, as we see, had its like tradition. There's Chachamim, Chartumim, these were people trained in this. And obviously, you can't just make up an interpretation. That's not how, maybe that's how we think of it, but that's definitely not how they thought of it, otherwise they wouldn't be taking this whole thing so seriously. So apparently they couldn't, they consulted their books, they thought of their rules or however the oracles or whatever way they interpreted dreams usually, and there was not a good interpretation. And now there's the Sara Mashkim standing there, and he speaks to Pari, and he says like this, he starts like this, I'm reminding myself, I'm mentioning my sins. And this is, maybe this is him like apologizing for mentioning what he's going to mention, and maybe it's like is making sure that Pari doesn't remind himself, doesn't take it badly, like he reminds how he sinned against Pari, how he did something wrong, and maybe he's going to Pari and say, wait, so what are you doing here? So he's like preempting that and saying, look, Pari was mad on his slave. And this seems to be like, it's legitimate, it's weird, because we would take this as again like chutzpah, like Pari was mad, well, he should have said, well, I did something wrong. No, he doesn't say I did something wrong. He says, Pari was angry and put me in the prison, in the jail, in this house of the Sara Tabochim, along with the Sara Oifim. And apparently this was an accepted way to talk. Obviously, this is him talking in a way of, with respect to Pari. And we had a dream. Both of us had a dream in one night. So again, it seems like he's mentioning this, like how they both had a dream in one night. And this like is important. In other words, they saw that it's like one dream. Sometimes, just like Pari has two dreams, and we're going to see later that the one dream, the Sara Mashkim and Sara Oifim had one dream, although there were two people, and the two dreams were interpreted as different fates for both of them, but like there's one story here. And it says, there was a Nar Ivri. Ivri is the, I don't remember if we had this already. And the Torah always, when it talks about the family of Avraham, the family that we're from the perspective of other nations, like how the Mitzrim would talk about him, it says Ivri. Almost never, later, sometimes it says, but almost never has a self-identification as Ivri. It's always how we were called by others, or how we present ourselves to others in Mitzrayim. When you present yourself this way, it's not something that the Torah itself seems to like. So it seems like many, many groups have words like this. Like this is how you might know us, or this is how other people know us, but it's not really how. It's in other words, it's a name that signifies foreignness. It signifies that you're not. Maybe like the Bedresh of Ever Echad, but in any case. And he was a slave of the Sanat B'chum. We told him our dream, and he told us, he interpreted for us. And that's how he interpreted each of us our dream. I think that's Ishke Chanim Epas. Each of us, he gave an interpretation of our dream, and his interpretation came true. And he speaks now about Pari in third person and says, Oisi Aish Velkani, me, he. So, of course, Pari returned to my post, and him, he killed, hung, or impaled, whatever Tula means. Now he didn't actually say what to do. You notice the Sara Mashkim just gives this drasha, just says, you know, when I was in this place, there was this Nar Ivri who knew how to interpret dreams. That's all. And of course, it means a proposal that we should use him. And that's what Pari does. He sends for Yosef, he brings him out of the boir. This is another word. He shaves, he changes his clothing, and they bring him to Pari. And now Pari, we have a length dialogue of Pari. We didn't have that between Pari and the Chatumim, right? It doesn't say, Vayim Pari the Chatumim. It just tells the story. But when it comes to Yosef, it tells us the full dialogue, or presents to us the full dialogue that Pari has with Yosef. And Pari tells Yosef, look, I've had a dream. I do not have an interpretation of it. It says Yipoiser, which means literally an interpreter. Not clear if that means this is like saying there isn't anyone here that can interpret it, or that's also what it says here. Over there, we could have taken it as a verb, like there isn't someone who is being interpreting it for Pada. But here it seems like he's saying, or maybe it can be taken the same way. But I've heard about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it. Now Yosef answers Pada, and right away on this statement that Pada said, I've heard about you that you can interpret dreams, he says, no, it's not me, Bilodai. Besides for me, except for me, it's God will answer Pari's peace. It's God that will tell Pari. This might be like just a standard pious way of saying things, or there might be some greater context here where Yosef seems to, and we have later more of this, Yosef seems to very explicitly believe that God is behind all kinds of human things. So it's not like Yosef, maybe he's like really thinking something like, yeah, and this is what I was waiting for the Sarah Mashkim to call me, and maybe now I'll get out of my jail somehow, and that's why he's ascribing this to Elohim, to God, or he's just disavowing that it's like his own wisdom. There's different ways of reading this, but it's an important statement. So Pari tells Yosef his dream, and we have Pari repeating to Yosef his dream. There's some differences of how he told it to Yosef and how it's told in the story itself. Mainly, for example, here when it talks about the bad, the non-healthy, the thin cows, he adds, L'risi kaidab l'erich l'eret Mitzrayim. I haven't seen such bad-looking cows in the entirety of Egypt. This seems to me to be just Pari in a bit weird way, boasting about Mitzrayim. Like, Pari at Mitzrayim always has the greatest cows. This is a weird dream that how did I see such bad ones? Or maybe it's also foreshadowing the solution, Yosef's interpretation, which will basically be about that. And then he finishes off his two stories. Maybe there's some other differences that I haven't noticed at the moment. This is one that's important. And one more important difference is that he says that after the thin cows have swallowed the fat cows, it was not noticeable. This is also something that we'll see in the interpretation has a meaning. They're still bad. In other words, we would expect that if the thin cows swallow the fat cows, that they would become fat. But that's not what happened. So there's something weird. Of course, in dreams, this makes sense. But there's something weird. And he finishes off and saying, I spoke to the Chartimim, and nobody told me. I think that Magid, Lashna Gud in the Torah, always means something like revealed to me. Nobody, like when you tell something they didn't know. Vayomer can be some like formal statement sometimes, not necessarily something that, telling something that you didn't know. But this is something he's saying, I've told them, but nobody told me what's going on. So in other words, like, there's a secret here. There's something I don't know. And Yosef answers Pari, and he gives him like one key, which seems to solve the whole problem. His Pari had one dream. It seems like they were really struggling with these two dreams. Because usually, apparently, two dreams mean two different things. It says, Pari has only one dream. The dreams of Pari, they didn't even say the dream. So the dream of Pari is one. And the point of all these dreams is what Elohim, what the God does is doing, he told Pada, Higit, right? He says, Ve'en Magadli, and this seems to be also, just like he said, it's not Yosef that will poiser chalaim, it's also not the Chatimim that's going to be Magad to Pada. It's Asher Lehimo is Higit Le Pada. And he gives an interpretation. Seven is for 7 years. The seven cows and the seven stalks of grain are 7 years. They're both the same 7 years. Not that it's 14 years, they're the same 7 years. And the same thing with the bad cows and the bad stalks are 7 years. This is me speaking, I'm proving it to you. He had a Varshbat Lepara. It seems like he's saying, if you look at the logic of the dream, you see, notice that the same thing. If you look at the number seven, you'll see it's the same one, seven, and the same structure of these two dreams. So they're the same thing. And he gives an interpretation. What this means is, for the next 7 years will be a great bounty, great suva, a lot of food, everything that you need to be sated in the land of Egypt. And this maybe interprets the B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. He's starting to show you that this is about the entirety of Mitzrayim. And then there will be 7 years of hunger, of drought. And what will happen is the entire bounty, the entire time of abundance will be forgotten. That's the Linoida Kibol Kabana, because it will be such a great hunger. You would expect that if there was some good years and then there's some bad years, that you know they cancel each other out. But that's the point, that they don't cancel each other out. Or in other words, unless you will do what Yosef says. And this seems to be important because he has a plan how they should cancel each other out. And then he says, and there's always a question how weird took this from the dream, but Yosef seems to think that everything means something for him. So it's not such a great question. He says, Pada should find a wise and smart man and appoint him over the land of Egypt. And he should, so to speak, arm. Chimash says, he should arm the land of Egypt with the abundant years so that they should have food for the hungry years. And Pada is very happy. It seems, and all of his favodav, all of his slavodav, translate here as slaves. Slaves sounds like a negative balance. It should mean something like his ministers, his people. They're often they called slaves relative to the king, but it doesn't mean. And he says that we find someone, isha shereuchali imboya, the spirit of God is in him. So although, this is like Pare's intermediate solution, although Pare, Yosef, he would have said it's Yosef, and Yosef said it's God, so he's like, Yosef is the one who has the spirit of God in him. And Paray sort of follows through on what Yosef proposed and says, if God has told you all of this, there is no smarter. You said we should find the Novim V'chochem. There is no Novim V'chochem like you. Therefore, you will be in charge of my household. And according to you, by you, will be fed my entire nation. I will give you everything besides for my cheer. This is the language of saying, you take care of everything, but I'm still the king. And we have a lengthy description. I want to get through this. We have a lengthy description of Paroi sort of giving Yosef the kingdom. This is probably important also if you count this, if you compare this to the story of the Ksenes Pasim and the story of Yosef being stripped and sold, and all these things seem to be meant to be taken as answers to that. So he gives him some ring, which is like probably a symbol or a sign of his authority. He gives him big daishash, linen, which is, well, of course, what they had in Egypt, linen. He gives him something on his neck, some kind of jewelry. He makes him travel, ride in his mekeves ha-mishneh, the second to the king's chariot, which is probably having to do with, you remember before, he went on the camels with being sold as a slave, and now he's riding in the kingly or vice king chariot. They give him a new name, Avrech. Again, that seems to be something not clear. Maybe it's like something that they used to call, like, you know, like, hey, like something like that. And we have, again, Paray speaking to Yosef, and maybe this is Paray speaking to it in front of everyone. He says, I am Paray, which is like him proclaiming his authority by which he's doing this. But without you, nobody should raise his arm or leg in the entirety of Egypt. So this is like Paray's official, like, conferring of authority on Yosef. And he gives him a new name, which is also something kings do, Tzafnas Panach. He gives him a wife, and Yosef is appointed over Egypt. He's 30 years old, and that's what he does. Okay, now we end. We have two more important notes until we get to how this leads to the next part of the story, the next stage of the drama. First thing is we have a note how actually what Yosef predicted came to pass. There is 7 good years, and then there's and Yosef used those years to gather all the grain. He put it all the grain from each city in that city. So he saved everything up, and they stopped. There were so much he couldn't even count. We have one note about Yosef's 2 children and their names. He had 2 children before their hunger started, so because then maybe this is important. The first name is Menashe, because I forgot my pain from my father's house. The second is Ephraim, because Ephrani Limberetzoni, I've been fruitful in this land of my pain. So again, there's like the 2 sides, like I've forgotten my pain and I've been successful. And then we have the next part of what Yosef promised will happen, predicted will happen, the hunger year start. And now we have a new interesting note, because until now this is all about Mitzrayim, and suddenly we hear that there was a hunger in all the lands around, and opposite Mitzrayim there was food, because Mitzrayim has prepared because of Yosef's dream. And then we have how Yosef gained authority by this, right? So and this is a little weird, because it seems like all of this should have been public before. Apparently everything is more complicated than it seems. Mitzrayim has hunger, there's no food, everyone is coming to Pat asking for food, and he says, go to Yosef, I'm not in charge of this, because that was the job literally that Yosef gave. And Yosef opens up his storehouses and gives them, and there's still a great hunger that's like Fiechsa Karov, and not only in Mitzrayim, but all the land, V'chol Oretz, of course, obviously means surrounding areas, come to Mitzrayim to buy from Yosef what he put away, because there's a hunger in all of the land.